presence and welcome into God's presence in worship. We enter the story because today we continue our Lenten journey with each other and with Jesus. We step into the story this week of a teacher who turned the world upside down, and we put ourselves in that story. We take a closer look at this week's story. We let the ancient story open to give us a deeper conviction, and we listen for our call to follow the teacher, Jesus.
Enter the story. Enter the place you belong, not just looking on, for this is your story. Enter the story. Enter, come enter the story. Enter the place you belong, not just looking on, for this is your story. Enter the story.
That last week, we saw Jesus in the temple. And we know he didn't lay low. You see in our artwork here, he whipped away the money changers. He puts himself out there. He is vulnerable to those who want to trap him and twist his words this week. They're trying to get him to say something damning. However, Jesus cannot turn away from his vocation. He is a master teacher, a prophet, a voice for God's will. The threat to the authorities is Jesus' ability to draw people into his teachings. So we place ourselves in the story this week to be moved, to be motivated by Jesus for our lives, to get a faithful perspective. What would we have seen? What would we have heard and felt? And what do we do now?
Enter
the passion, enter the place we belong, not just looking on, for this is our passion, enter the passion. Enter the place we belong, not just looking on, for this is our passion. Enter the passion, enter the story, enter the passion, enter his passion.
Please join with me in the opening prayer printed in your bulletin. Together, we come here to encounter the teachings of Jesus. Many wanted to destroy him for these teachings. Sometimes we find his words too challenging as well. We think this calling is more than we can be or do. Forgive us, O God. Let us be shaped into a new people, made in the mold of justice, not the stamp of Caesar's coin. You entered our story through Jesus. Now help us to enter fully into the story of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Know this, There are people whose lives have been completely changed by God's story of love and passion. It means transformation is possible. We are forgiven and freed, encouraged and loved. Our God wants us to live fully and abundantly. Let us enter the passion of Christ together. So at this time, I invite all of the chimers to come forward over here, and all of those other children who are not playing in the chimes to come over here to sit with me as we together sing, "I Love to Tell the Story." You may be. Now, if all the boys and girls, after they put down their chimes, could come over, we will continue our journey with Jesus through Holy Week. All right. So, this week, we're going to tell another story of Jesus, and I am going to trick you, so you have to listen very carefully. So every time I say something that you don't think sounds like the right thing, I'm going to need you, buddy. I need you to make a buzzer sound. So let me hear your buzzer sound. Bzzz. Everybody got a buzzer sound? Got to hear a buzzer sound, okay? All right, so are you ready? Are you listening for the tricks? I'm going to be tricky. The legal experts and chief priests were watching Jesus closely, and they sent spies to play soccer with him. Yeah, they didn't play soccer. The spies were sent, and they were pretending that they were sincere. They wanted to trap Jesus with his words, so Jesus would take him out for ice cream. Yeah, no. so they could get him in trouble. They were trying to get Jesus in trouble and hand him over to be arrested. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are correct in what you say and teach. You don't show favoritism, but teach God's way as it really is. Does the law allow people to ride giraffes?" No. "Does the law allow people to pay taxes to the government or not?" That was their question. Since Jesus knew they were trying to trick him, he said, "Show me a picture of your trip to Disney World." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Show me a coin." He said, "Show me a coin." So, whose inscription does it have on it? They replied, "Olaf from Frozen." No, that's not right. The inscription was a Roman leader, the Roman leader they call Caesar. So Jesus said to them, "Give to the government what belongs to the government, and to God what belongs to God." Oh, I guess they had completely outsmarted Jesus. Does that sound right? Yeah, they didn't outsmart Jesus. In fact, they couldn't trap him with his words in front of the people. So astonished by Jesus' answer, they performed a Broadway musical. That's silly, isn't it? No, they were so astonished by Jesus' answer that they were speechless. So we live in God's story, and we seek to follow Jesus' example. Even when people try to trick us, we continue to be kind and fair with our words and actions, no matter what others say. All right, it's time to stand to do our, are you ready? So, hand to heart, we dare to join the journey. We walk your loving way. Hands like a book. Hands like a book. There we go. We live your sacred story. Through all the things we do and say. Amen. All right. So off to your classes. I do believe you have a teacher who prepared today. So you have fun with your classes with Mrs. Rupert, and we will continue our story.
Jesus has many times of teaching how we are to balance our allegiance to God and our dedication to one another in daily life. Here's a teaching story which also gives us a picture of how Jesus wants us to live as citizens of the world and as citizens of God's kingdom. Now, one of the legal experts heard their dispute and saw how well Jesus answered them. Came over and asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus replied, "The most important one is, 'Israel, listen, our God is the one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you will love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. A legal expert said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have truthfully said that God is one and there are no others beside him. And to love God with all of the heart, a full understanding, and all of one's strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more important than all kinds of entirely burned offerings and sacrifices." Now, when Jesus saw that he had answered with wisdom, he said to him, "You aren't far from God's kingdom." After that, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
Now we are drawn into the story of Jesus teaching. Drawn into that painting. Drawn into the character of Jesus. And drawn into the character who is shading his eyes in the background. I wonder what that person is thinking about Jesus' response challenge. Let's listen to the monologue. Watch the tableau and put ourselves in the story too.
Jesus kept showing up at the temple that week, even after the skirmish in the temple market. You'd think he would back off, lay low, stay out of the way. His name was on the watch list for sure, had been for some time. I hear that even when he was born, he was perceived as a threat. That's what I hear. That was before my time here, though. My allegiance is to Herod, and I've been placed here to help oversee the Jews this week. This Passover party here in this city makes me so nervous. The place is packed. We were instructed to see if we could get this Jesus to say something that would prove he means harm to the state, that he will encourage people to disobey the Roman law, or that he will create a rebellion that will get ugly. So we were instructed to catch this guy saying something we can charge him with. They teamed us up with some Pharisees, Jewish priests that oversee the rules for their own people. These particular priests are no more than spies, I would say. They want him shut down as much as Herod does. But they lay it on thick, I tell you. Cozying up, telling him he's such an amazing teacher. I decided to stay out of the way. It actually makes my stomach turn. All this deceitful stuff. I'm sure this guy will go off the rails and end up in prison or worse. I just hope it is over quick. What? What did he just say? Well, this is something. He's got the Pharisees reaching into their pockets to get a denarii. Ha! Well, I'll be. This guy is good. Nothing wrong with that answer. They won't be able to get him today. Actually, I'd have to say, I'm curious. There's something about him. I wouldn't mind hearing more. Perhaps I'll volunteer to keep an eye on him. Although what I really want to do is just be around him and hear what else he has to say. There's something about him.
Will you pray with me? Dear God, in this time of contemplation, teach us. Let us not be tricked by bravado or by terror, but instead, O God, draw us into the two sides of your wisdom in Jesus. And somehow, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, money, coins, cash. We don't even want to touch this stuff right now, do we? Yuck! How many hands has that money touched? Ew! We're so much happier to get the credit card out, aren't we? And tap it, put it back in our pocket. But the reason is we don't want to not only be sick ourselves, but we don't want to make others sick either. So, from memory, and I promise to help, we're going to talk about the images that you have on your money that you're not getting out. Okay? So, who's on the $1 bill? George Washington. Who's on the $2 bill? Thomas Jefferson, correct. Who's on the $5? Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. Who's on the $10? You know, we're singing a lot about him these days. Alexander Hamilton. Who's on the $20? Andrew Jackson, boo. We'll talk about that later. Who's on the $50? The Union General Grant. That's right. Who's on the $100? Well, we wish we had more Franklins, don't we? We just wish. Okay, here's a real test. Who's on the $500? Really, really is a $500 bill. They're still out there. They're not making them anymore. But McKinley, President McKinley, on the $1,000 bill, Grover Cleveland. On the $5,000 bill, James Madison. On the $10,000 bill, Salmon Chase. Who is Salmon Chase? Salmon Chase ran against Abraham Lincoln for the Republican Party's nomination to run for president. He lost, obviously. But Lincoln made him his Secretary of the Treasury. Until we just can't get along. And then there's one more bill. It's obviously a gold, you know, bill. It's the $100,000 bill. Woodrow Wilson. None of those are made anymore. All right, the coins are easier, right? Who's on the penny? The nickel? Jefferson, I hear it. The dime, Roosevelt, yes, FDR. The quarter, Washington. The half dollar, Kennedy. And the dollar coin has a myriad of different people on it. In Lady Liberty for a long time, but the one we all like is the Susan B. Anthony. That's the one that I really, really really like. All right, so we're accustomed to having images on our coins. We honor the leadership and the devotion of these people to their country. Although, as I said before, the jury is still out on Andrew Jackson. Didn't have a really good relationship with a lot of our indigenous peoples, and we're thinking about putting who on the $20 bill? Harriet Tubman. But what do all of these people have in common? A really mundane, normal thing. They're all? Susan B. Anthony is not male. Good try. They're all? Are they talking to us anymore? They're all deceased. Yes, they're all dead. We don't put living heroes on our money. But if you go to Canada or Britain or New Zealand or Australia, whose face do you see everywhere? Queen Elizabeth. She is everywhere the Commonwealth ever touches. But she's not Caesar, right? She doesn't make pizza. She's not like the Roman Emperor. However, are you watching The Crown? Who's watched The Crown? All right, so I got a little uncomfortable when she was being, you know, the coronation, because she's the head of the Anglican Church. And I really didn't get into that in history, and I was kind of uncomfortable. I mean, she's being anointed, and she's head of the church. It's a little too close to the worship of Caesar, it feels. And that money in our story, we are always uncomfortable, aren't we, talking about money? But Jesus never is. He's always comfortable. He's always ready to have the conversation. And it doesn't seem to matter in this story that, you know, it's Passover, there's all these Jews from all over the world, and there is a regiment of soldiers. So here are the Jews in this occupied situation with Roman soldiers wandering around. And then there's these tax collectors who are Jews, who are seen as traitors, who are Roman collaborators taking their money. And our monologue this week is the voice of a Roman spy, someone who's looking for those zealots, those Jewish rebels, the insurrection leaders. And because Jesus draws people to him, draws crowds, he's seen as a threat. Now, you and I don't even like the word crowd right now, do we? We are trying to stay away from crowds. We are trying to stay away from the coronavirus. We're trying to stay healthy. And that's why we're sitting at great distances from each other and why many of our folks are at home watching us today. Many of you are seeking to stay away from germs. But the germ in this story, the germ that they're looking for, is insurrection and troublemaker. But what's interesting is that Jesus teaches that the greatest idea is that the poor and the marginalized are as powerfully important to God as anyone. So here's the proof of Jesus' deep understanding of the constant challenge that we all face. This test, this question, was meant to trip him up. Should taxes be paid to the Roman invaders? So Jesus was, you know, opposed categorically. You know, to say he was in trouble. To say that you should pay taxes, well, that makes all the Jews mad at him, right? Why should we pay taxes to these Roman invaders? But if he doesn't say pay taxes, well, then he's under a death sentence from the Roman rule. So in this story, Jesus appears to not have a coin, right? Because he asks for one. And you need to know that as a true Jew, you would have been embarrassed to have one of those coins with the picture in your pocket. And what's also interesting to know from history is that the Jews at that time were barely used to using coins. And the only coins they had no images on them at all. So then along comes these Romans with this picture on it. So he holds the coin in the air, and in the good Jewish tradition, he asks a question. Do you remember the question? Yeah, whose image is on there? And the image is? Caesar. And then Jesus says these words we know. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. The wisdom of Jesus takes the harsh realities of foreign invaders and the primacy of God's place in our lives, and he finds a way to live with these two sides. We don't like two sides. We want everything to be right and wrong, simple. Boil it down. We don't want two sides of the story. We don't want it to be complicated. But Jesus is never afraid of two sides. The spending of our coin and currency, whether physical or virtual, it always reflects our values, what we honor. Most of us could not afford to give as much here at the church or to charities that we support as we give to our local, state, or federal taxes. But building a society that cares for all is giving to God what is God's. Let me say that again. Building a society that cares for all is giving to God what is God's. Why? That's where our second comes in. Our second teaching story is the most familiar to us all. What is the greatest commandment? Now, for those of us who cut our teeth on church pews, there appears to be no challenge for Jesus here. Really? How is this a hard question? We answer that right away because we've grown up learning that. But for our Jewish siblings, this is a real theological question. Why? Because the Jews have 613 commandments. 613, not 10, not 20, not even 100. So they are testing this self-made rabbi, an itinerant teacher. And Jesus, his knowledge of his Jewish heritage with the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love God with all your heart, mind, being, and strength." And then he doesn't stop. Remember, with Jesus, there's always two sides. He wasn't asked for the second most important, but it comes anyway. Love your neighbor as yourself. Two sides, always, God and people. Now, did Jesus invent this? Did he invent it? What do you think? Absolutely not. He didn't invent it, and that's why the legal experts always go away confounded every time. Jesus is directly quoting from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, two places in that chapter. First, verse 18, "You must not take revenge nor hold a grudge against any of your people. Instead, you must love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And in another place, it says to love the foreigners among you, to treat them like citizens. Verse 34, "Any immigrant who lives with you must be treated as if they were one of your citizens. You must love them as yourself, because you were immigrants in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." End quote. We live with two sides of the coin. We love God and we love our country. We love ourselves and we love our neighbors. More than that, we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So I am encouraged that the pandemic has awakened in our country this old Levitical law of the ancient Hebrews, the ancient laws that siblings still follow. If we love ourselves, it is in our best interest to ensure all people have access to virus testing, medical care, sick leave, unemployment. Because when people are sick, they make us sick. When they have no income to buy goods, well, then there is no income for someone who needs to make a living. When our neighbors go to work sick, we are all in danger. I sincerely pray that we can love ourselves and one another enough to wash our hands as long as it takes to pray the Lord's Prayer and to help our little ones learn that prayer and get the soap into every crevice in this time. And maybe for always, we'll be healthier in the long run if we always do that, right? Two sides. It's not popular. But if we do not love our neighbors, we will not survive. So here's to the neighbors who are keeping physical distance, but who are maintaining social connection, making phone calls, sending texts, maybe saying, are you someone who cannot go to the grocery store? Can I deliver something to you? Here's to the neighbors who are picking up prescriptions for vulnerable populations. Here's to the loving neighbors who wash their hands and keep their paws off of you. And here's to Jesus, who challenges us to live on both sides of the coin, always. And the people of God said, amen. Continue with our prayer time. We again remind you to please send us your emails with your joys and concerns. There will be a time in the prayer when you can lift aloud a name, a place. First names are fine. And just shout it out, one word of what you want to pray for today when we get to that point. And we ask that you, especially that you would keep our Ruth, who's been to the hospital and is back home and is not getting better. So please keep Ruth in your thoughts and prayers. And we enter into our prayer time by singing. We remember today the teachings of Jesus, and we give thanks to God for the power of Jesus' words and actions. They have the power to transform lives. We remember today those who teach and preach, those who pursue the right living and right relationship that we all need. We give thanks, O God, for those who have been leaders for us in the world, who have shown us the way of peace. And now let us call to our mind's eyes people who lead us in advocacy, presence, and prayers. We pray for Ruth, for Carly and Amy, for Char, Haley, John, Liz, we pray for Lynn, Melissa, and Calliope. We pray for Rob, Ruth, and all victims of war, violence, and national disasters everywhere. And now, we lift aloud the names or places that we would add to our prayers today. Oh dear, thank you. Thank you for prayers in our hearts, the prayer. Please, oh please, do not know that we have priority lists that continue to need your realignment. And in these pandemic days, oh God, we are truly your vulnerable and humble humans. We sincerely put ourselves in the positive and healing light of your love. We give thanks for the power of our immune systems and the spiritual strength of our minds linked with your spirit. We pray especially for those people who are fighting for their lives. And we give thanks for the dedication and care of medical professionals. We pray for those sanitation workers in hospitals and public places who are working overtime to keep us safe. Dear God, keep putting us in the story, your story today with Jesus. While we are physically at a distance from each other, teach us to consider one another. Teach us to share our resources in a world where our mutual vulnerability means rich and poor are two sides of the same coin in your kingdom, O God. You are our God, so into your everlasting arms we put the fears of us all. And on the foundation of your love in Jesus, we live in confidence and humility as disciples. And we join our hearts and voices as we pray for you to keep teaching us and praying the disciples' prayer, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus teaches us to be generous with our love for God and for one another. We contribute to society and establish community here for teaching and learning, support, and advocacy. Our giving commitments and weekly offerings are gathered in offering plates, which are available at the entrance to each aisle as you leave. We also invite you to take out your phones and go to the Facebook page for the Congregational Church of Birmingham and post. Or send a text to share your prayers for encouragement and love. Let someone know you see and notice their goodness. Thank you.
We will not forsake. God will not forsake. We continue our Lenten journey even in these pandemic times. We ask you to go into your week and frame some things. Find Jesus' message to you, Jesus' teaching, in just one piece of what you look at closely. And as you are physically at a distance but socially connected, we hope that you will offer God's peace and God's joy to each other. And we will continue to watch this painting change. It will go, this is week one, this is week two, week three will be painted this week. Paint your week. Paint the lessons of love and peace. And offer that peace in loving ways. Now, I'm told that one way to hug each other right now is to go like this. So, the peace of Christ is with you.
And also with you.
You pass that peace safely. Connect your eyes. It's the safest connection right now. And may the peace roll on. Amen.